Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And just a reminder to you, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day to get started with the habit of reading at least three chapters each and every day. It'll bless you tremendously. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Verses 1 through 23, all of Matthew chapter 2. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the powerful story of Christmas found in the Word of God, and specifically as we find it in the books of Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Lord, we thank you for the Advent season of the year, the time of the year in which we in a special way focus on the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and focus on the meaning of that, and focus on the need for us to really recognize the wonderful gift the Lord Jesus Christ was and is to each and every one of us in the world. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to really see the gift of Jesus for who he is, and to be aggressively involved in telling the world the wonderful message of the fact that Jesus came and brought salvation with him into our world. And help us to be bright, shining witnesses and faithful ambassadors telling the world about the gift of Jesus every day of our lives, effectively and faithfully as the body of Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we appreciate you tuning in with us today. Today, as we begin, as we're looking in the Word of God, I want to mention that today we'll be looking specifically at the topic of Advent and intentional discipleship. Again, Advent and intentional discipleship. Now, lots of us have probably heard the word Advent, but not really fully understanding what it means. Advent is a season in the year that lots of churches in the West celebrate. It's a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus at Christmas. The term is also a version of the Latin word meaning coming. And so it actually focuses on the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ as well. But it's basically covered by the four Sundays after the 27th of November in and around the day we celebrate Christmas, of course, December 25th. And the first season of the Christian church also is Advent, and it's leading up to Christmas and including, as I said, the four Sundays preceding or following that date, again, November 27th. So again, as we look at the topic of Advent, I want you to keep in mind celebrating and anticipating the celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming as a baby in the world. Remember, it's not about trying to have the warm and fuzzy feeling we call the Christmas spirit. It's much, much bigger and much more critically important than that. It's about we as believers recognizing the fact that the greatest gift the world has ever received was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ. And that it's not about just celebrating the fact that he was born as a baby so long ago. It's about us understanding that salvation came into the world when Jesus came into the world. The only means whereby people can spend an eternity with God in heaven is through Jesus Christ. So the greatest gift the world has ever received is Jesus. So as we focus on this Advent season and any Advent season on the gift of Jesus, I hope that you'll grow in your understanding of what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who's involved, vitally involved in the work of salvation, the work of vitally involved in the work of telling them good news of salvation about Jesus Christ, and also involved in helping others grow up in their faith once they come to be saved. So again, our topic for today, as I said, is Advent and intentional discipleship. Now, as we think about what it means to be intentionally involved in the work of discipleship, I want to point out something very important and very critical for every believer to recognize. Remember, the Great Commission is found in the book of Matthew chapter 28, where the Lord tells us, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. That's a call and it's a commitment that God is calling every believer to in all the world. Every day of our lives, we're to be vitally involved in the work of sharing the gospel and helping others to grow up in their faith. Now, tragically, though, you have many believers who, to be quite honest, not only are they not intentional about discipleship, they may do it if somebody approaches them and asks them for help. But the sad reality is you have lots of believers, if you ask them, who are you discipling? Many of them couldn't point to a single person they're helping to encourage in their growth and walk with the Lord. Now, remember this. The job description of a believer is that we're daily involved in the work of helping people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and daily involved in the very important work of helping people to grow up in their faith. So it's important that we understand what discipleship is. We're to be living in ourselves, and we're to be passing it on as well. So as we look at our topic for today, again, Advent and intentional discipleship, I want to encourage and inspire every single listener to understand this. If you're not deliberately involved in the work of the sharing of the gospel as a lifestyle and the work of actively encouraging and regularly encouraging others to grow in their faith, you need to understand you and I, we've got to be on our job. I share this figure on a pretty regular basis, I guess, on the program, or have shared it on a number of occasions, that on average, 3 people die every second. On average, about 180 people die every 60 seconds every minute. All over the world, an average of 11,000 people die every hour, every 60 minutes. And on average, all over the world, every 24 hours, an average number of between 200 and 250,000 people die every 24 hours. Folks, that's a lot of dying. And when they die, the only thing that matters is, did they know Jesus? It doesn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat. Doesn't matter if they were white or black or Hispanic or Asian. It doesn't matter if they were rich or poor. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks they lived on. It doesn't matter if they drove a big car, a little one, had a big house or small house, or had no house whatsoever. Whether they were rich or whether they were homeless, the only thing that matters is, did they know Jesus Christ? And the fact is, we as believers, as we're faithfully doing our job, we're helping to pull people off the road to hell onto the road to heaven. And we're also helping people that are already saved to begin to grow up in their faith and to become faithful disciples themselves. So when you have believers that aren't even in the game, they're up in the stands cheering on others who are doing the work that they're called to do, but who aren't involved in the game, something's terribly, terribly wrong. So as we're looking at our topic for today, again, Advent and intentional discipleship, I want to stir and encourage every believer listening to become aggressively involved in the work of sharing the gospel every day of your life, aggressively involved in the work of sharing the building blocks of discipleship with others so that they too can grow up in their faith. In other words, our job is as believers, as we're daily, we're to be using the testimony we have of telling others how we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. And also we're to be actively doing things like giving out gospel tracts and encouraging others to come to church and encouraging others to begin to get into the Word of God and start reading the Word for themselves, encouraging them in their prayer life, asking them, how's your prayer life coming? Asking them questions like, how can I pray for you? These are deliberate acts of discipleship that we as believers are to be involved in every single day. So let's keep in mind as we look at the topic that we're looking at today, again, Advent and intentional discipleship, continually ask yourself the question, am I trying to do these kinds of things? Am I trying to be a vessel that God can use every day to help others come to know Christ and or to grow up in their faith? Now, we read from Matthew chapter 2, and I want to remind you that during the Advent season, that is the, some would use the term the Christmas season, I want to encourage every single listener, make it your goal to read through all of the Christmas stories. That's a very important goal because, again, as you do, the Holy Spirit will teach you new things about the Christmas story that you didn't know, but also they will inspire you to become more involved in the work of sharing the gospel so that others can come to know the true wonder and meaning behind the story of Christmas. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contain what we call the traditional Christmas story. Now, keep in mind, you could refer to all of the Word of God as really being the Christmas story in its totality, but the traditional Christmas story is found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and in Luke chapters 1 and 2 as well. So I want to encourage you, during the Christmas season, make it your goal to read through these all the way through again, all the way through Matthew chapter 1 and all the way through Matthew chapter 2, and then read all the way through Luke chapter 1 and all the way through Luke chapter 2. Now, that's a nice little bit of reading, but keep in mind, as you go through it, when you get all the way through it, read it again. And when you finish going through it a second time, read it a third time. Because remember, as I said, part of what will happen is you'll find that you will learn things about the wonderful Christmas story that you didn't know, but also you'll find the Holy Spirit stirring you to want to point others to Jesus Christ, stirring you to get more involved in the work of telling others what the good news about the Christmas story is really all about, that it's not about the presents and about the lights and all the decorations and the celebrations and the Christmas parties. It's about the fact that Jesus came to the world as a little baby, but also as the Savior of the world who came and brought salvation to a world that desperately needed the salvation that only Jesus could bring. We're to be involved in actively sharing that. And of course, we should be very much involved in the work of sharing the gospel and discipling others during the Christmas season for this reason too. Many people during the Christmas season are much more open to hearing the gospel than they would be any other time of the year. Why? Well, because of the way the Spirit of God uses what we, again, call, quote unquote, the spirit of Christmas. Many times people's minds and hearts are on things centering around Christmas. Well, there are plenty of people who might even call themselves atheists that may celebrate Christmas. Well, they need to be stirred. We as believers need to be stirred to know that we need to make the most of the Christmas season. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to do that. Stir us to be faithful vessels you can use in the Christmas season and beyond. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The American Republic was founded on the principle that rights are given to us by God, not men. As a result, men nor government can take them away. That's why our Declaration of Independence refers to our rights as inalienable rights. Government's role, then, is to protect the rights that God has given to us. The first freedom listed in the Bill of Rights, which government is entrusted to protect, is religious liberty. The founders did this because they knew that free exercise of religion is the fulcrum for all liberty. Wherever the flame of religious liberty is extinguished, all liberty is imperiled.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Let me say this from the beginning. Anytime God is calling us to do something that we don't want to do, He has to get stern with us before we'll ever move. Whatever that looks like and however that plays out, one thing is certain. God will never force you to do anything. Think about it. In terms of your personal relationships, you don't want a relationship with someone because they feel obligated. You want a relationship with them because they want to be in one. It's the same way with the Father. He wants sons and daughters who want a love relationship with Him above obedience. We don't obey because we have to. We obey because we get to and we want to. Choose to join Him in the work of saving the lost because we love Him and we are devoted to Him. He'll never force you, but He'll definitely compel you to come. Choose wisely, my friend. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Are you aware many men struggle in the aftermath of abortion? According to research, 8% of men are seriously damaged emotionally. This means nearly 5 million men are walking wounded, with millions more affected to lesser degrees. We have a website to help these hurting fathers. MenAndAbortion.net can refer a man to free peer-to-peer counselors anywhere in the nation. There are videos and books, healing Bible studies, research, and more. Men need to know they're not alone and there's help for them. MenAndAbortion.net is the place for them to begin their journey back to wholeness. Please pray more hurting fathers of aborted babies will reach out and connect with the help they need. Once again, the address is MenAndAbortion.net.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria. Beautiful Christmas selection again from Forever Jones. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As we started out, we read a passage from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, the story about the wise man. And let me again remind you that we're encouraging you to do this. Number one, for yourself, read through all the Christmas stories during the Christmas season, during Advent season. Read all the way through them. They're found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contain what we refer to as the traditional Christmas story. Powerful, wonderful stories centering around the total story, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, during the Christmas season, a lot of people read parts of the traditional Christmas story. And in fact, if you watch our Charlie Brown Christmas, you'll hear Linus recite Luke chapter 2, which is a wonderful part of the story, but that's only a part of it. Remember, you should read all of Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and all of Luke chapters 1 and 2 to be able to go over the full, quote-unquote, traditional Christmas story. So I want to encourage you to make it your goal. Read all the way through them, and when you finish, read them again. And when you finish the second time, read them a third time, because, again, it will bless you tremendously. But as I said, you'll also learn things about Christmas that you didn't know. But also you'll be stirred to become a more faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Remember, Advent is not about just, you know, sometimes people may think, well, I celebrate Advent so I can get in the Christmas spirit, whatever that is. But the important thing is not so much that you feel warm and fuzzy around Christmas, but that you're actively and aggressively telling others that Jesus Christ is the only way to get saved, that you're actively teaching others how to grow up in their faith and become vibrant disciples following the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, in turn, are doing the same thing in their lives as well. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, it contains, again, a part of the story of Christmas. Picking up specifically at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Again, verses 18 through 25, Matthew chapter 1. Again, take the time to read all the way through the Christmas stories. Again, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. You find some powerful insights and truths that will bless you, that will encourage you, and that will stir you to become a much more vibrant witness, telling others about the salvation that only Jesus Christ can bring. Now, keep in mind, remember, our goal is that we're not just trying to obtain that warm, fuzzy feeling around Christmas. Our goal is that we're set on fire by the Holy Spirit to actively tell others about the wonderful gift Jesus Christ really was and is to the world, that he is the greatest gift the world has ever seen. And remember, a part of being disciples is, again, being a faithful student of the Word of God. Again, like I like to encourage believers to set a goal to reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. That will stir you, that will feed your spirit, that will strengthen you and build you up in your walk with the Lord. And also, it will stir you to become a much more faithful vessel of the Holy Spirit. Remember, discipleship is about following God, hearing his word, and following the leading of the Spirit of God. God talks to all of us every day. We've got to learn to listen more and more closely and obey the word of God and the Spirit of God as he directs us. So daily, encourage others to read the word of God. I want to challenge every single listener to make it your goal to challenge people, your loved ones at home, the people on your job, your relatives, your kinfolk, challenge them to set the goal to reading 3 chapters a day. If you'll regularly do that, you will find that from time to time, someone will come back and tell you, "You remember when you challenged me to start reading 3 chapters a day? I started and I haven't stopped. Thank you so much, because that habit has blessed me so much. Thank you for encouraging me to start that very important habit. Now, remember, it's not just a matter of just the challenge being put out there. The Holy Spirit is using you to help set somebody on fire with the Word of God. And remember, if they start reading the Word of God, they're going to start growing up in their faith. So that's a part of making disciples. Challenge folks to get into God's precious Word on a regular basis. Remember, in our culture, most everybody has Bibles. But now some people don't, but most people do. The problem is a lot of their Bibles are sitting up collecting dust. They need to blow the dust off the Bible, pick it up, and start reading it. And the Christmas season is a wonderful time to start reading the Word of God, especially the story, the wonderful story of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So daily encourage others, to challenge them to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day. But also daily, as I said, carry gospel tracts around with you. Now, if you may say, well, you know, if I carry those tracts around, folks are going to think I'm strange. Well, you know, we live in a world where people think we're strange anyhow. You know, everybody really is kind of strange. Everybody is kind of weird. But, you know, that's the way it is. In the truest sense of the word, everybody really is what the world would call a nerd. But that's okay. It's normal to be a nerd because everybody is kind of weird, and that's part of the beauty of the way God made us. Celebrate your nerdiness and just live for Jesus. That's an important thing to do. But remember this, if you carry gospel tracts, yeah, people might think you're strange here and there, but a lot of those people will end up in heaven because you were willing to be a little bit strange. Regularly carry them with you in the grocery store, when you go through the drive-thru window, go out on the college campuses and sharing gospel tracts, deliberately going to your neighborhood. There are all kinds of ways God will use you to help people get saved. And remember, during the Christmas season, many people are much more open to hearing the gospel than they would be any other time of the year. Make the most of this opportunity. Share your faith wherever you might be, no matter who you might be. And also, love people. Be someone who loves people. Love people intentionally and love people fervently. Why? You have a lot of people in the world who are used to people treating them ugly, rude, or just not being very thoughtful to them. On the other hand, when we are vessels through which the love of God can shine, many times people are drawn to the Christ inside of us because of the love that's flowing through our lives. Ask if, and understand this, some people by their nature are a little bit grouchy than other people. But if you're a grouchy person, say, Lord, help me to not be grouchy. Say, Lord, help me to be kind and loving and considerate. Because remember, God uses kindness tremendously in the world. He reaches through kindness and points people to Jesus. And many times people don't even know why, but somehow or another they think of Jesus when someone is kind to them. And often when you show an act of kindness, people will respond by saying, God bless you. Why do they say that? Because the kindness makes them think about the goodness of God. And so be a kind person. Don't be rude. Don't be thoughtless. Don't be inconsiderate. Be someone who the kindness flows through your words, your actions, your attitude. God will use that wonderfully. Let me share with you a touching and an insightful story, simply entitled, The Gold Wrapping Paper. Once upon a time, there was a man who worked very hard just to keep food on the table for his family. This particular year, a few days before Christmas, he punished his 5-year-old little daughter after learning that she'd had used up the family's only roll of expensive gold wrapping paper. As money was tight, he became even more upset when on Christmas Eve he saw that the child had used all the expensive gold paper to decorate one shoebox she had put under the Christmas tree. He also was concerned about where she had gotten the money to buy what was in the shoebox. Nevertheless, the next morning, the little girl, filled with excitement, brought the gift box to her daddy and said, "This is for you, Daddy." As he opened the box, the father was embarrassed by his earlier overreaction, now regretting how he had punished his little girl. But when he opened the shoebox, he found it was empty, and again his anger flared. "Don't you know, young lady," he said harshly, "when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside the box, inside the package." The little girl looked up at him with tears, sad tears rolling down her eyes, and she whispered, "Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it until it was all full of kisses." The father was crushed with his own actions. He fell on his knees and put his arms around his precious little girl. He begged her to forgive him for his unnecessary anger. An accident took the life of this only child of his a short time later. It was told that the father kept his little gold box by his bed all the years of his life, and whenever he was discouraged or faced difficult problems, he would open the box and take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of his beautiful little girl who'd put it there. In a very real sense, each of us has been given an invisible golden box filled with unconditional love and kisses from our Lord and Savior. And also, it can represent love from family members and loved ones as well. There's no more precious possession than anyone could hold. Again, make it your goal to express love and kindness to others regularly, both loved ones and people you don't know, because remember, again, hopefully the dad learned a lesson about loving and appreciating his child and not being rude and mean, because it seemed he was kind of mean to her at first. But the fact is, we live in a world where people are used to others being mean, unkind, and rude. But on the other hand, God uses kindness and love to point people to him. Remember, during the Christmas season, many people, their mind is on giving more so than other times of the year. And remember, some of the gifts you give are not gifts that can be tangible at all. Some of them are simply gifts of kindness. The gift of praying for someone. The gift of asking someone, how can I pray for you? The gift of calling someone up and just checking up on them. Again, many gifts, again, you can't put in a box. But they're gifts nonetheless that will bless others very much so. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to use Advent season, the Christmas season, as a time to be a bright, shining witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that many people are very lonely during the Christmas season, feeling very lonely and isolated. Help us to be vessels through which you can let them know, Lord, that you love them, that you care about them, that you can save them if they're in need of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, help us and empower us this Christmas season to be people that are givers, who generously give not just physical presents, but give of our time and our energy to love people. Help us to live so that your love flows through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. Help us to make it our business to ask others regularly, how can I pray for you? And help us to be faithful, to be deliberate about praying for them when they express what their desires and needs might be. Help us to be looking for opportunities to share gospel tracts with others who may very well be open in their hearts and their minds to receive Christ if but one person would share the gospel with them during this Christmas season. Help us to be prayerful, asking you for guidance and wisdom as to what presents to buy individuals, knowing that you can use gifts often to point people to Jesus Christ as well. Lord, help us as believers to be wise enough to be intentional about listening to the Holy Spirit for guidance in the selecting of gifts, so that some of these gifts will not just be something that simply says, I appreciate you, but gifts that sometimes will actually share the gospel or will point people to the Word of God or the things of God or the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that you don't waste anything, and that if we make the most of our opportunity of pouring the gospel into the lives of people and giving gifts that will share the gospel or share gifts that will encourage and build others up in their faith, that we'll be making the most of the opportunity to bless others. And Lord, help us also to not limit our giving just to Christmas time. Help us to be believers that are faithful in giving and blessing others on a regular basis, just as a lifestyle, not just during the Christmas season, but help us in turn to know the joy of the Lord as we give throughout the year. Thank you for the opportunity to be deliberate disciple makers. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of Advent and intentional discipleship. We'll be right back after this break.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacy on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk. Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Tune
all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
When life makes you feel like you're in a pressure cooker, Dr. Tony Evans says it may help to understand why we're taking the heat in the first place. He offers this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You ladies, you put the meat in the oven, and then you pull it out and you stick it with a knife or a fork to see whether it's done. You want to see if it's done. In other words, you're not going to be fake by how it looks outside. Because it may look done. It may look ready to eat. But when you cut it, you still see some blood under there. What do you say? Just because the outside look good, we finish? You going to some more fire. We're going to put you in the oven a little bit more. If the meat could talk, the meat would say, it's hot up in here. If the meat could talk and say, it's mighty hot up in here, it's mighty hot up in here. You got it 450 degrees up in here. You trying to hurt somebody. No, I'm just trying to finish you. I'm trying to finish you. I know when you're well done. I know when my purposes for you have been cooked. And now you're ready for the master. If you carry about the dying of Jesus, if you will identify in the midst of whatever it is closer to Christ, if you will draw nearer to Christ, if you will pursue him, he says in the middle of that thing, God is going to produce his life. He's going to give you a new experience with him.
Learn how to have the kind of relationship with God that can get you through anything. Get details on Dr. Evans' message series, Comforting the Afflicted, by visiting us at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as the sky, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? There's a song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace, warm, mighty king. Do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. the King to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. And light.
Tony Johnson. Do you hear what I hear? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of Advent and intentional discipleship, and we're hoping that you'll be stirred to really get into the wonderful celebration of Advent, which refers to the coming, the celebration of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And keep in mind, remember, Advent is a season observed in many Western churches as a time of expectant waiting in preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Again, remember the term, it's a Latin term meaning coming. And so allow this time, the Christmas season, be a time where, again, you're both preparing yourself to become a more vibrant disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also you're vibrantly involved in the work of sharing the gospel, because remember, many people are much more open to hearing the gospel during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. Let's make the most of this opportunity. I want to remind you too, again, a big part of doing the work of discipleship is being a student of the Word of God, staying in His Word each and every day, being a person of prayer that's continually seeking God in prayer. And a big part of that is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He guides and directs us to reach out in ministry as we go along every single day. Let me share with you a touching story about listening and following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. One Saturday night, a pastor was working late and decided to call his wife before he left for home. It was about 10 p.m., but his wife didn't answer the phone when he called. The pastor let it ring several times, many times. He thought it was odd that she didn't answer, but he decided to wrap up a few things and try again in a few minutes. When he tried again, she answered right away. He asked her why she hadn't answered before, and she said that it hadn't rung at their house. Well, they brushed it off as a fluke and went on their merry ways. The following Monday, the pastor received a call at the church office, which was the phone that he'd used that Saturday night. The man that he spoke with wanted to know why he'd called on Saturday night. The pastor couldn't figure out what the man was talking about. Then the man said, "My phone rang and rang, but I didn't answer it." The pastor remembered the mishap and apologized for disturbing the man, explaining that he'd intended to call his wife, but apparently accidentally called a wrong number. The man said, "That's okay. Let me tell you my story. You see, I was planning to commit suicide on Saturday night, but before I did, I prayed, 'God, if you're there and you don't want me to do this, give me a sign now.' And at that point, my phone started to ring. I looked at the caller ID and it said, 'Almighty God,' and I was afraid to answer. The church that the pastor was serving and pastoring, the name of that church was Almighty God Tabernacle." Well, again, just listen to God, follow God, and you'll be surprised the ways God will use you to bless and encourage others. Our job is to simply be obedient to the Lord. Allow me to share with you another touching story, an insightful story about simply being used of God as a vessel of love to bless and encourage the lives of others. A story simply entitled Teddy Stallard. Teddy Stallard certainly qualified as one of the least of these. Disinterested in school, musty, wrinkled clothes, hair never combed. He was one of those kids with a deadpan face, expressionless, sort of glassy, unfocused stare that characterized Teddy. When Miss Thompson spoke to Teddy, he always answered in unmotivated and distant ways. And he was a little boy who, to Miss Thompson, he was just plain hard to like. Even though his teacher said she loved all her class the same, deep down inside, she wasn't being completely honest. Whenever she marked Teddy's paper, she got a certain perverse pleasure out of putting X's next to his wrong answers. And when she put F's at the top of his paper, she always did it with a flair. She should have known better. She had Teddy's records, and she knew more about him than she wanted to admit. The records read, First grade, Teddy shows promise, but his work attitude, Teddy shows promise with his work attitude, but he has a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. His mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a good boy, but he's too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is very slow but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. Well, Christmas came, and the boys and girls in Miss Thompson's class brought her Christmas presents. They piled their presents on her desk and crowded around to watch her open them. Among the presents, there was one from little Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson was surprised that he'd brought her a gift, but he had. Teddy's gift was wrapped in brown paper and was held together with only masking tape. On the paper were the simple words, "For Miss Thompson, from Teddy." When she opened the present, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The other little boys and girls began to giggle and smirk over Teddy's gifts, but Miss Thompson had at least enough sense to silence them by immediately putting on the bracelet and putting on some of the perfume on her wrist. Holding her wrist up for the other children to smell, she said, "Doesn't it smell lovely?" And the children, taking their cues from the teacher, readily agreed with oohs and ahs. At the end of the day, when school was over and the other children had left, little Teddy Stallard lingered behind. He slowly came over to her desk and said softly, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like my presents." When Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees, hands and knees, and she asked God to forgive her for not loving all her students, for not caring about them as she could have, and especially little Teddy Stallard. The next day, the children were greeted in school by a brand new Miss Thompson. She was a teacher who decided that she was going to diligently and firmly love all of her children, especially the slow ones, and especially little Teddy Stallard. She was no longer just a teacher. Miss Thompson now was an angel of God to be the greatest blessing to her students that she could be. She helped all of the children, but again, especially the slow ones, and especially little Teddy. By the end of the school year, Teddy had showed great improvement. He'd caught up with many of the students and actually had even surpassed some of them. She didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then a few years later, she got a letter from Teddy. It said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my high school class. Love, Teddy." Then a few years later, she got another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard." And then several years later, she got one more letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Dr. Theodore Stallard, MD." A touching and a very powerful story that's a reminder that when we love people, we fervently love people and give of ourselves to bless the people around us, what a blessing we really can be. We need to be deliberate about wanting to love people, to encourage them, to point them to Jesus Christ, because remember this, one of the reasons why we need to be kind to everyone is because everybody's fighting a hard battle, and some people's battles are harder than others. But when we love people, it allows the Spirit of God to reach through us and touch them and bring out the best in them. Because again, remember, the Bible says God is love, and when we love people, we're sharing God with them as well. And the Spirit of God can point them to the Jesus inside of us as we walk in love and express that love through our words, our actions, our attitude. That's a part of why everywhere we go, we're to be telling others about the Jesus who can save anybody and everybody that will receive him. Make it your goal to be a faithful disciple who's living the life of discipleship yourself, but who's very deliberate about sharing the gospel with others and deliberate about making others to be disciples as well. Remember, the Christmas season is a wonderful time to share the gospel because many people will be more open to hearing the gospel than any other time of the year. And it's also a wonderful time to be a giver, to be someone who regularly and faithfully blesses others with words of blessing, words of encouragement, with taking time to pray for others and ask them, "How can I pray for you?" And also, as you give away gifts as well, prayerfully ask God to give you wisdom, guidance, and grace to know what gifts to give, because The Holy Spirit knows exactly the gift that will bless someone and that will point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to give people Bibles along with other things. And don't be afraid to put gospel tracts inside the presents you give away. Also, don't be afraid to give discipleship tracts, tracts that encourage people to become students of the Word of God, tracts that encourage people to make prayer a vital part of their life, tracts that encourage people to read the Word of God and obey it and live it, things that will help them to grow up in their faith. That's what we're all called to. We're all called to make disciples of all nations. Let's be about our Father's business during the Christmas season, during Advent season, and beyond. Thank you, Lord, for every person that's listening today. And thank you for the opportunity you give each of us to be faithful disciples ourselves. And thank you for the opportunity to be persons that you can use to help others to become disciples as well. Help us, Lord, to make the most of the opportunities you're giving us this Christmas season, during this Advent season. Help us every day to be involved faithfully and diligently in sharing the gospel where we go, giving out gospel tracts where we go, asking others, how can I pray for you? Inviting others to church, pointing them to the things that would help them to come to know the Lord and that would help them to grow up in the Lord too. And Lord, help us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Help us to not be afraid to tell others, because this Christmas season we may have the opportunity to cross the paths of some people whose paths will never cross again. Help us to make the most of every one of those opportunities to point them to God and to help them to grow up in you. What a blessing, what a privilege, what an honor it is for us to be vessels that you can use every day. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit this Advent season. Help us to be vessels that you can use at home, on the job, in church, in the community, in the grocery store, wherever we might be. Help us to be living in such a way that the Holy Spirit's burning on us so brightly that they will feel the presence of the Jesus inside of us, or that they will hear the presence of Jesus through our words, our actions, our attitude, and be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world as the greatest gift the world has ever known. Thank you for the opportunity to be vessels this Advent season and beyond. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been talking today about the topic of Advent and intentional discipleship. We appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.